Hello, Minnesota Twins fans, and welcome to episode 24 of Minnesota Twins Chat. I am your host, Trey Larson, joined as always by my dad. His name is Craig Larson. How's it going tonight, Dad?
Pretty good. How about yourself, Troy?
I'm doing great. I mean, but the Twins, since we last spoke, have won 10 straight. You have an Arbor pass 13 games. And I'll tell you what, I think this team is in a better place now.
I think quite a bit better, actually.
Quite a bit better. But, I mean, I think the thing, but before we continue, let me mention to the listeners that we're going to have a guest here coming up that I recorded earlier. I recorded the interview earlier today. And so once we're done here, I will play that interview for you. But now back to the Twins, Dad. About the past 13 games, what stands out to you about the Twins' play during this stretch?
Well, they're obviously doing something now that they were not doing earlier in the season. That's hitting with guys in scoring position. And they're scoring a lot more runs. Some people may say that they're playing weaker teams, which is maybe true. But also, if you take a look at a long season like they play, you need to do well against the weaker teams and hold your own against the better teams, and then you have a shot of doing something during the year.
Agreed. And the thing I want to point out, it's not just one player that's been leading this run of wins the Twins have been on. It's been several players. It's been pretty much most of the team, at least. If not all the team has contributed. And I don't buy this crap about the summer sausage being a point. I mean, could have been part of the atmosphere, maybe, but I don't put any stock in the summer sausage. Baseball is a 162 game season, and teams are going to have stretches where they are playing a lot better. I don't know what your perspective is, but that's what I'm thinking of the summer sausage.
Well, if they are playing better, and they think the summer sausage thing is helping, so be it. But that isn't obviously why they're hitting better. That has nothing to do with it. Maybe the whole mood is better. Maybe before they were too tight in the dugout. I don't know. And now they're playing a little bit looser, and obviously they've been doing better. I just looked a minute ago, right, and currently, like, the Twins have won 10 or 10 in a row. And if you look at other teams, like Oakland's won 4, and nobody else sees even more than a couple. So in the either American or National League of wins in a row. Obviously, the 10 wins in a row has gotten them right back into contention again, because they're if right now Houston is beating Cleveland at 8-2, and should they end up winning that ball game, the Twins would be 2.5 games out, which is pretty remarkable considering where they're at not too long ago and how they were playing. Because at one time there, it did not look good at all. You cannot continue to play the way they were earlier in the year and missed opportunities with guys in scoring position. After a while, that really can be a bad thing. And it seemed like it was becoming contagious with the whole team. So, but these last 10 games, they've done much better. Their pitching has been decent. Obviously, there's some players who have come back in those 10 games, too, onto the roster again, with Correa just a couple of games ago, right?
Yep, Correa came back on Monday, and then Tuesday...
Kepler? Or has he been back for longer than that?
No, Kepler's been back. Who was it on Tuesday who came back? Because somebody did come back on Tuesday.
Okay. Was a position player or pitcher?
For some reason, I'm thinking it's a pitcher.
Well, Duran came back.
Oh, that's right, because I did not see him on the
injury
report. So, yeah, Duran came back. Johan Duran came back on Tuesday. We are still missing Justin Topa, who is expected to be one of the key arms in the bullpen, but he should be back real soon. They're saying early May. And then Royce Lewis. Yeah. We should expect him to be coming back probably no earlier than June, they're saying.
That's the way it sounds right now. Yep.
And, but The other thing on the injury front is we do not know the extent of the injury, but Byron Buxton had to leave the game with right knee soreness, the same knee that he's had two surgeries on now in the past couple of years. And I know they were going to have an MRI today, and then we should know more by tomorrow. We are recording this here on a Thursday evening. So by tomorrow, which will be Friday, they should have more on the extent of Buxton's knee injury, and we'll go from there. Rocco did not want to speculate too much yesterday in his post-game press conference, but my guess is, if I'm going to guess, Buxton's going to be on a 10-day IL.
The RL, as we call it.
Which is the Rocco-ist.
Yes, and you know, when you, some other observations are, obviously, Buxton, if he's out, you hope it isn't any more than 10 days, because he actually seemed like he was kind of getting into a groove lately. And then other guys who were really floundering for a while, number one is Willie Castro. Willie Castro has been extremely hot lately. And since Max Kepler has come back, he's done well. And another surprise they're getting is Jose Miranda.
Agreed.
Has been doing quite well too. And there's others too, but those are four guys that I can think of. And of course, Correa just came back, but he's only been back for a couple of games, isn't it?
Yes, and I believe Miranda, he came in yesterday for Buxton. Castro went to center and Miranda went to third. And Miranda, I believe, had three base hits.
Yep, another guy I almost forgot about too is Trevor Larnach. Larnach has done a good job since he's been back up with him. And one thing and we talked about it before, they're playing, you know, they're doing a lot better. And guess what else they're not doing as much as what they were before this, all this, when they were not doing well. They're not striking out much either, like they were.
In fact, I checked earlier, they are 10th. As of this afternoon, they were 10th in the league in the majors in strikeouts.
And I bet you go back before the, you know, 10 games ago and look, they're probably right up towards the top of the most strikeouts per game. I would be surprised if they weren't.
I wouldn't either. I'd not really follow that much up until that point.
Yep.
But that's where we're at as far as the strikeout.
And they still have some other guys that you expect maybe more out of them. But that's just the way it is. And not everybody's usually hot at one time. If that's the case, you know, score a ton of runs, and you wouldn't score any runs at all. A couple of guys who, you know, are on, Ryan Jeffers has done a good job too. I forgot about him. And one, you know, Eddie Julian has not been doing much lately with the bat, but hopefully that turns around.
You know, I believe it was Joe Vavra.
Yep.
The one time he told John Gordon that, you know, even if a team's doing hot, you still have a player or two who's still struggling at the plate.
Oh, yeah. That's just the way that it's a long season. You just can't have, you know, have them continue to struggle for the whole year. Then it's not good. Another guy who for one time wasn't doing a thing is the backup catcher, Vasquez. And lately, he's done a lot better. So, and you're not expecting him to hit 300 either, but just to have decent at-bats. And he has been lately. Plus, did he steal a base one game, too? That's a surprise. But I think he did.
Yeah, he did. I believe it might have been in the White Sox series.
Trying to think of other guys who were on the team and what's been going on with them. Kyle Farmer was doing nothing. And compared to what he was doing, he's been very hot lately.
But, yeah.
But one time, you know, was he hitting like 0-63 or something? It was awful.
Yes, it was awful.
But he's doing a lot better too. So keep the hope they can keep it rolling. Obviously, they're not going to win every game, but they've been playing well and certainly beating teams that maybe are not as good as some teams. And that's what you need to do.
That's what you need to do. And, by the way, Dad.
Yep.
At the start of the 10-game winning streak, before the 10-game winning streak, the Twins, I believe, are batting like 190-something as a team.
Yep, you're right. Now they're really about 240 or something, 245?
It's got to be. I mean, it was at 238 at the start of a week.
Okay, it's probably at least that thing. They've had a lot of hits in some of these games. So, nope, the whole feeling is different. The only... I mean, I don't know if we want to mention this now. The only thing that kind of is disappointing to Twins fans is don't know, was it two nights ago or whatever, and all of a sudden the Bally Sports and Comcast or Xfinity partnership is no more. So people who have Comcast, which is what this household has, you can't even watch the Twins anymore.
Yeah, well, the partnership is no more, at least for now. You know, could things change in the coming weeks and days?
Maybe.
Remains to be seen. I mean, two of the other cable provider, major cable companies, Cox and Time Warner, they have renewed with the Bally's channels. But, you know, I think the television landscape has changed a lot since the cable model came to be. And I don't know. Part of the issue, it seems like Bally wants to have their channel carried on Comcast's basic plans. Right now, there are in Comcast, meanwhile, once, but the Bally channels under Premier plans. So we'll see what happens. It might be a deal where Comcast or Bally is going to have to give in on something just to get the games back on whoever's the Twins, or it's not just the Twins, it's our Major League Baseball team. Yeah.
Well, you can just see what would happen if they put them on their basic plan. Where now it's, if you want to watch the Twins, you're forced to having something more than that, which obviously costs more money. You put it on, if they somehow would end up putting it on their basic plan, you can know exactly what would happen. People would drop the Premier plan and just have the basic, because that's the reason why a lot of people, not all, that's the reason why a lot of people in Minnesota, I'm sure it's like that in other states where Bally's the main player, that they would drop the Premier plan, and because it costs them less money. That's been the biggest complaint about cable, is it's too expensive.
Well, and I think Bally is thinking, well, this is going to bring more revenue, go to the basic plan. But in the basic plan would probably, I'm sure, go up in price if they did that.
Yeah, but the whole thing is because Bally, you go back to last year, and you've started hearing some things rumbling about Bally not doing well, and all of a sudden then they're filing bankruptcy, and there were lawsuits going on, and I think in the Twins' case, was it $54 or $55 million they owed the Twins, and somehow I think Amazon got involved too, didn't they?
I don't think Amazon's got involved yet.
I think they were there. I think they might be, because it was mentioned last year, I know.
Well, I think it was a mention. I don't think anything's been finalized yet.
Yeah. But then, of course, they finally did settle and brought Bally back for this year. But we still have not heard, were the Twins aware of the fact that April 30th, that contract was over with? And then you start over with, I mean, in the sense with Comcast, who is the big cable player in the Twin Cities market up here. And the only other things you can watch them on anymore are DirecTV and... Who's the other one? Oh, that Fubo or whatever their name is.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I know what we're talking about. I can't remember for sure how that name is pronounced. But yeah, so, and I don't know how many teams, major MLB teams, this impacts, but.
I think it's quite a few.
Yeah, it is. And, I know some people have complained about MLB trying to get a younger audience and they're not really succeeding because, for example, we can't watch them here in Twin Cities. I mean, just the fact that MLB has restricted their TV packages to whether it's to cable or blackout MLB TV plans. I know some people have complained about the fact, well, you're not getting your younger viewers by doing that. Well, now it's going to hurt more because, the X number of teams are not a part of are not on Comcast. Comcast subscribers, TV sets, if their games are on Bally Sports.
Yep. And, if you think back, and I don't know how many years ago it was, but The Bally contract with the other satellite provider, the big one, which is Dish Network, they've never ever come to any kind of a agreement since then. So that has not been on Dish Network for years. And now I think also was it Hulu, and what's the other one? is one other one streaming.
Well, thing. There's something called YouTube TV.
Yeah, but did they used to be on that too?
Well, actually, it's Swing. I think you're thinking of. I don't know if they ever were on YouTube or not. Maybe they were at one time. I don't know.
But those issues have never been resolved either. And so, and obviously, Bally's financially in trouble. I don't think it's a big secret. And obviously, you know, you start paying people a boatload of money, like teams, which the Twins are $55 million. Is that what all these? Is it the same figure for all teams, or do they negotiate individually?
Well, they negotiate individual team contracts.
All right,
and it's going to be a contingent on that team's market too. But I think the problem was they thought that the number of cable subscribers was not going to decrease as much as it has.
Yep.
When some of these contracts were signed.
Yep.
And so that's why, in some ways, the cable model is somewhat broken. I'm not going to say it's totally broken because, you know, the thing is, you still need internet. If you want to stream something, you still need internet. And cable is probably your best bet as far as the quality of internet. But as far as, like, the cable companies having the television channels and subscribers to cable TV, that model is probably not as successful as it used to be, just because of the increased competition of of other companies where you can get, you know, where you can stream a lot of the same content.
Yep, and you know, then nobody ever mentions the fact about the thing with the cable companies not doing as well as what they used to. Has a whole lot more to do with the economy going on in this country right now too. People can't afford it.
No.
You know, and they don't want to ever mention that, but that's a big part of it. People cannot afford to do some of the stuff they used to be able to do because of the inflation, and prices have gotten just out of control.
Yeah, agreed. And I don't care what political party you're on. That's just the reality we're seeing. Yep. Right?
And that certainly has got to play a part in the reason why some people have dropped their cable too. That's not a big secret.
No.
Because, you know, it's to have cable, especially if you have a premium package for TV, and if you have internet, and if you have home phone service, it gets pretty expensive every month.
It definitely does.
So, and if you got to eat, so.
Yeah, and food.
Yeah.
Food is the most important thing to have on the table.
Yep, and so who knows what'll happen? I certainly hope that somehow they've worked something out till the end of the year. Right now, the way things stand, you know, and this also includes, we didn't mention this, but it includes the Wild in Minnesota, the hockey, and includes the Timberwolves, who are still playing in the playoffs, and their games now will be on national TV cable stations, and probably, are they on ABC too or not?
It just has national NBA broadcast. Yeah,
but, you know, and another thing that not as many people are maybe as interested in, but now the WNBA starts too. And, of course, that means Minnesota means the Lynx games would not be on TV either.
Nope.
And they can, you say, like in the NBA games or the Twins games, like could be on MLB Network. That's not going to happen either. And in the case of the Timberwolves, you know, right now they're in the playoffs, but if it was regular season games, none of their games would be on TV at all.
No. So it's, it's...
And the Wild would be the same boat.
Yep. Wild in the same boat, so...
And that would really irritate people.
Oh, yeah. I think the Wild are actually more popular than the Timberwolves as far as the winter sports teams in the state. Yeah,
we just have a lot of fair weather fans this year because the Timberwolves have done better.
Yep. So
that's, it'll be a interesting time, but you know, if it doesn't get settled here pretty soon, odds are it's not going to be. As we mentioned before, it is not just the Minnesota Twins, it's other teams throughout the country who have the same issue right now.
Yep.
That are part of the Bally Sports Network.
Yep. So we'll see what happens here. Deb, before I let you go, then we play the interview I did with Bob Branco.
Yeah.
You know, the Twins are going to be in a key stretch, I think, that's going to tell us how, if this winning ways are sustained going forward, because we're going to be playing the Red Sox. We're going to be playing the Seattle Mariners next week. I believe next week, and we go to Toronto. And then we come back here and play the Yankees. So this is a key stretch for the Twins going for the next, I think it's 12 games, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll see how they do these next 12 games. And I'm not sure when exactly we're going to record our next episode, but I think that's probably when we're going to record our next episode. Does that sound good, Dad?
Sounds like a winner.
Sounds like a winner. All right. Well, do you think that's going to do it for us, Dad?
I think we wrap it up. Just keep the Twins rolling.
Yes, keep the Twins rolling. We'll see what happens with the TV thing. And, yeah, well, thanks for joining me tonight,
Dad. Yep, you bet. Who's our pitcher tomorrow?
Our pitcher tomorrow is Chris Paddock.
Okay, and who's next, Lopez?
Yep, Lopez on Saturday, and I think Sunday. It's not Joe Ryan, is it?
Could be him.
Yeah, I don't know. But, you know, but with a change in the rotation, I've kind of forgotten who's going when. But yep. But
let's hope for the best. A good report from Byron Buxton too.
Yes, I hope so too, and I hope that the sausage doesn't. The package of sausage you're using doesn't come open and make somebody sick.
Or some dog doesn't find it.
Speaking of dogs, the White Sox, apparently on Monday, they have a dog night at the ballpark, whatever, bark at the park night they call it.
Yeah.
There were 1,200 dogs.
Yeah, I think it looked like there are more dogs in the stands than there were people.
1,200 dogs. Imagine that, Dad.
Yeah. Instead of 101 Dalmatians, it'd be 1,201 Dalmatians.
Well, you'd have to put a bunch of soot on them, though, to make them look.
Yep, there you go. All right.
Yeah. So, yeah, but meanwhile, at Target Field, it was a measly 250 dogs.
Yeah.
That came to the Twins bark at the park deal a week before that, so.
Okay.
So, yeah, well. Is that going to do it?
That'll wrap.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for joining me tonight, Dad.
Yep. See you next time.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Before we go to our guest, I just want to give you a little introduction as to how I met him. Bob Branco, he's a blind gentleman from the state of Massachusetts. He's from the Boston area, and he's a big sports fan out there. Now, the reason why I met him was through our buddy Don. He's been on the show a couple times before, Don Wardwell. We will probably have Don on a little later this season. As part of a show, I would like to have people, whether it's bloggers or podcasters from that follow other teams, to be guests on the show. So, like, if the Twins are going to play Cincinnati, I would like to have a Cincinnati Reds blogger on or something like that. Now, Bob, he essentially co-hosts. A show called Sports Roundtable. And Sports Roundtable, well, to my knowledge, I can't find it on any podcasting platforms. But we will provide the link to the show's archive. So you can find it, but it's not on Apple Podcasts or anything like that. So we'll let Bob tell you more about that. And by the way, Don Wardwell is one of the panelists on the show. And I also contribute to the show as well. I'm not one of the main panelists, but I'm probably honored if I do contribute something. It's probably a couple times a month. Sometimes I'm just there just listening, but yeah, so if you want to find some more Twins commentary from me, well, Sports Roundtable is where you can find some of that commentary, and I will provide a link to the episode in the show notes. So let's now go to the interview I had earlier today with Bob Brankle, and he's going to discuss Boston Red Sox with us. So that is coming up next here on Minnesota Twins Chat. Welcome back to Minnesota Twins Chat. Joining me is Bob Brankle. He is a co-host of a sports talk show that is primarily put on by blind and visually impaired people called Sports Roundtable. Bob, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Troy.
You got it. First of all, tell listeners about the Sports Roundtable.
Sports Roundtable is a weekly one-hour show where several panelists get together and we talk about national sports on a weekly basis. We record live on Monday afternoons from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. And I want to thank the American Council of the Blind for assisting us. They have a community call set up so the participants can take part and ask the panelists questions. We also are mainstreamed on ACB Media 5, which helps us a lot as well.
Tell us about the guests you've had on the show.
Well, we've had some very prominent guests. We've had the likes of Upton Bell, who was a former talk show host in the Boston area. We've had Mark Kesticher of ESPN Radio. We've had Pete Shepard, another well-known sports talk host in the area. He's down in Florida right now. We've had Bob Soci, and we've had Jerry Trupiano, both of whom are play-by-play announcers in football and baseball, respectively. We've also had Tim Neverett, who is currently with the Los Angeles Dodgers radio crew, I believe. He's been on our show before as well. So we've had quite a variety of sports figures as guests.
If people want to check out the show, where can they find it?
Well, they can find archives on my website. We archive shows, and so we go back a few years with our episodes. Just go to www.brankoevents.com. That's B-R-A-N-C-O events, one word, B-R-A-N-C-O-E-V-E-N-T-S.com. Arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable Podcast. Click on that, and there are many, many past episodes that you can pick and choose from.
What I'm going to do in the show notes is I'm going to put a direct link to that archive.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, so that's where the listeners, if they want to check it out, they can find it. And by the way, I do contribute to the show.
Yes, you do.
So I'm on there not every week, but I'm on there maybe a couple times a month. You'll probably get a little more this summer with the Twins in season. So anyway, let's go why I really wanted to have you on the Mets to discuss the Boston Red Sox. Right now, and I know the Boston Red Sox are currently playing the Giants, but right now they're in third place as we record this in the AL East with a record of 18-13, and they are like a game and a half behind the Baltimore Orioles and New York Yankees. But the thing that stands out to me about the Red Sox is they have a lot of injuries right now. I was checking the roster, and by my count, there's 14 players, whether it's on a 10-day, 15-day, or 60-day IL list.
The last count is 16. Now, I haven't analyzed the list lately. I'll take their word for it that there have been 16 Red Sox players this season who have been or still are on the IL, and that's insane. There are too many baseball injuries.
And we've been trying to figure out why that is happening. because I mean, with the increased injury numbers of injuries in baseball, and some of the injuries, I'm like, I've never heard of somebody tearing a cartridge in their rib cage area, or as in the case of Red Sox first baseman Tristan Acasas, and I don't think he's gonna be back until June.
It's going to take about 2 months at least for his rib to heal. Imagine tearing your cartridge in your rib by swinging a bat. When I was growing up, I didn't hear much about that. Today, that's all we hear about, is these injuries involving torn cartilages, inflamed shoulders, bad elbows. I mean, it's just crazy the way people are getting hurt in baseball.
It's nuts. And speaking of players who are injured and they have not played much, Trevor Story comes to mind. When I believe you signed at Boston, whatever, I think it was 2021. No, I think it was 2022. Is that when you signed Boston?
Right before the season of 2022, we signed Trevor Story to a multi-year deal. I believe he's making anywhere from $20 to $25 million a year. He's probably played about half the games since he's been a Red Sox, or maybe even less because of all the injuries he's had. He's out for the season right now. He injured himself diving for a ball the first series or so of the season, and he'll be out for the rest of the season because he had surgery on his arm or shoulder.
It was his shoulder.
Yes.
Yep, it was a shoulder. And another pitcher who's going to be out, this one's a pitcher who's going to be out for probably the rest of the season, is Lucas Giolito.
Lucas Giolito, yes. But when we signed him, he was fine. He hurt himself afterward. And you're right, he will be out for the season.
But the Red Sox did sign William Hendricks, and he was injured.
He can't pitch until August. I don't even know why they signed him now. He's not going to help the team for 3 months.
Nope, and he actually was not very good when he was pitching for us. Way back in 2012.
So he pitched for Minnesota before he pitched for the White Sox.
Yes. And by the time he was with the White Sox, he was a decent bullpen arm.
Premier closer.
Yep. Now, let's go to some more positives for the Red Sox. They have scored 149 runs. They have allowed 108 runs for a run differential of plus 41. But I guess the question I want to ask you, what stands out about the play of the Red Sox up to this point in the season?
Their pitching. Most definitely their pitching. They lead the league in ERA. And I credit Andrew Bailey, their pitching coach, for making the necessary adjustments with the way pitchers are handled on this team as to why they're doing so well. I mean, they do have injuries on their pitching staff, no doubt about it. Nick Pivetta is out. Brian Bello is out. Garrett Whitlock, Isaiah Campbell. You mentioned Giolito earlier. I may have missed a couple here and there. Despite all that, though, Troy, they are very, very good as a pitching staff. They are one of the main reasons why they're in third place. Their offense is holding its own, although I'd like to see them hit more home runs with men on base. The downfall of their team is the defense. Hopefully that will improve as time goes by.
Hopefully that does. Tyler O'Neill right now is leading the Red Sox with 9 home runs.
Yes, he is.
And I know before he got injured, Tristan Acasas had 6 home runs.
Yes.
And he had, I can't remember how many RBIs, but he seemed to be one of the better offensive players on the team. Oh, I should ask you, we have another former Twin Red Sox, Rob Refsnyder.
Yes.
How has he been playing for the Red Sox?
Rob Refsnyder currently is batting about 366 or something like that, or 364.
I think 364 sounds right.
364. He was out for the first couple of weeks of the season with a broken toe. He is now back. In fact, he's playing a lot. He's playing today. He's out in left field, and he's hitting the ball like crazy. He is a very valuable asset to the Red Sox.
He has 7 RBIs and 7 runs scored. My memory serves me correct.
That's correct.
You know, going back to your pitching, by my count, at least 3 to 4 starters have ERAs in the ones right now.
Oh, under one. Tanner Houck's ERA is under one. I believe Cutter Crawford's ERA is close to, if not below one. It's amazing what's going on with their rotation.
Definitely is. And Tanner Houck is going to be pitching to open the Twin Series at Target Field tomorrow night.
Yes, he is. I forgot who's going for you. I know that Lopez is going on Saturday, but I don't recall who's going tomorrow for you. For the
Chris
Twins.
Paddock.
Chris Paddock. Okay.
Yep.
Watch out for Tanner. Tanner's on fire.
Well, we shall see. We'll see. You know, the Twins have been hitting a lot better. I don't know. You know, I mean, granted, it's been against bad teams, against the White Sox and Angels, but...
Well, they've won 10 in a row.
10 in a row, but, you know, we'll take the wins wherever they're... take the wins that when they come.
They're in fourth place and they're above 500. This is going to be a very interesting division. More interesting than I thought it was going to be.
I thought so too.
The only bad team are the White Sox.
Oh yeah. And that's what I think has helped these teams in the AL Central do really well. I mean, White Sox were 6-25.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah, their run differential is not very good. And I can't remember what it was, but the White Sox run differential is not very good at all.
I wouldn't expect it to be given their record.
Looking at your Red Sox, how do you expect them to do this season given the start they have had up to this point?
The key right now, I think, would be to improve their defense. If their defense improves to the way it should be, and if their pitching... I don't expect their pitching to be this good all season long. I mean, what's going on now is out of this world. But if it's a good pitching staff throughout the season, and if the defense solidifies, I think the Sox will be in contention. And I am surprised at myself for saying that, because only 2 months ago, I said this was a last place team. And I was very, very sure of my conviction at the time, the way the roster was constructed. But as I've been witnessing their performance since opening day, and I've seen what Andrew Bailey and Craig Breslow have done with the pitching especially, and the way they have 6 shutouts already this year, Troy. That's unheard of. We're only the 2nd of May, and they've already had 6 shutouts. That's amazing. So it wouldn't surprise me if the Red Sox were a wild card team. If they continue to play like this?
I would not rule that out. You know, I would not rule that out. You know, at this point, I think anything is possible in the baseball season. I really think it takes until after the All-Star break to really get a feel for who's good and who's not good. But we shall see.
Right.
Well, Bob, it was a pleasure getting a perspective from somebody who's local to the Boston area on the Red Sox. We should do it again sometime.
Sure, Troy. Thank you. And let's see if my Red Sox will be the team that will break your Twins' winning streak. Of course, as a Red Sox fan, I hope so, although I'm really in awe of what the Twins are doing. Don't get me wrong. I think what's going on with the Twins right now is amazing. It's just unfortunate that Brian Buxton has yet another injury. What's wrong with him? Why is he always getting hurt, too?
Exactly. I mean, you know, the Twins are, I mean, they don't have as many injuries as the Red Sox, but Byron Buxton, you know, he always does seem to get hurt in recent years. And I don't know what it is.
Amazing. Well, you know, let's hope for the best this weekend. when we play the Twins at their stadium.
Well, we'll see what happens, Bob. We'll see what happens. Thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, Troy. My pleasure.
Well, I would like to thank Bob Branco for taking his time to give us a little preview of the Boston Red Sox. And I will mention too that once again, I will have those. I will have a direct link to the archive to Sports Roundtable in these in the show notes for the episode. So be sure to check out the show notes, and you will find the link that will take you directly to Sports Roundtable. Well, that's gonna do it for this episode, folks. I'm your host, Troy Larson. Thanks to my dad, Craig Larson, for joining us earlier tonight to help us update us on the Twins and the situation with Bally Sports. So that, I believe, is going to do it, folks. Be sure to subscribe to However You Found This Episode, whether it's Apple Podcast, Spotify, iHeartRadio has it, TuneIn has it, Amazon enabled devices have it, Alexa I know has it, so I don't know if I'm going to say it's on all podcast platforms, but it's on quite a few of them, let's just say. And by the way, if you want to contact the show, the email address is mntwinschat@gmail.com. that is mntwinschat@gmail.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook. Just search for Minnesota Twins Chat on Facebook and you'll find the fan page for this podcast. Now, for our guest, Bob Branco, and my dad, Craig Larson, I am Troy Larson. So long, everybody.